Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. My name's Sunidhi.
My name's Tanvi.
And this is Anika.
Isn't it me, Anika, then Tanvi?
Who cares?
No, it's Tanvi, then Anika. It's always Sunidhi, Tanvi, Anika.
Actually, yeah. I keep forgetting.
Time, I just said I'll go last, yeah.
And I was like, screw it. It's fine.
Yeah. We are one person at this point. Mm-hmm.
Oh no. What happened?
That's a whole scene.
It's kind of... Who was that? Okay, no, I'm not going to go into Percy Jackson this early, but I remember that one guy with like three chests and like one head?
Cerebrus? The snake? Not the snake. The
dog. The three-headed dog.
Like
cards, I think.
The ranch guy. I don't know his name. He just had three chests and like one head. That could be us. But y'all are fronting, no?
Okay. You know, you do you, man. You do you. That's all I'm going to say.
I regress to Percy Jackson whenever I'm having extreme stress, so.
I think we regress to Percy Jackson. We're always very stressed out, let's be honest. We're very stressed out people.
Q21 pilots, hello. Come join our podcast if you'd like. We'd be open to that.
Please, I love 21 pilots, please.
Yeah, we're mostly asking for Sunidhi, but if you want to come otherwise...
At this point, we're just caricatures of ourselves. That's all we are.
See...
We should probably start.
This has got sad.
We should probably start with the actual podcast.
Yeah, but finally, we're doing a case study. Woohoo!
I requested. Two people asked us, and I asked Sunidhi. Three people.
I mean, we have all of four listeners, so three out of four ain't bad.
Hey, listen, we had a recent 100 streams. Yeah. Excitement
as of. I think 18th of April, we hit like 100 streams on Spotify alone. So,
yeah. That's exciting.
Thank you so much.
Oh my god, thank you.
Thank you so much. We're waiting for the fan pages. No, please.
For the fan edits and the fan fictions.
Oh god, no.
I will dedicate.
Fan fiction I'm down for, please don't include me.
I would dedicate hours of my time for the fan fiction. Like, I would be so ready.
Please don't. Please.
Rest assured, if you write one about Tanvi and Sunidhi, I will be doing a dramatic reading. So.
Yes.
Which is why I'm begging you not to.
Please do it. Please. I need to know how creative you get. I need to see this happen.
Sunidhi, no one's writing fan.
I need Tanvi to love me.
We have four listeners, you guys. We are not getting fanfic.
We are not, that's true.
Yeah, I know.
Which is,
but a girl can dream.
That is true.
But, you know.
About Tanvi loving you, your dreams are very sad.
The bar is very low.
Very low. She's very like, anybody low. Will do at that point. At this
anybody.
Point, even Tanvi.
Yeah.
Just somebody give me attention, please.
I swear. But
like attention.
I love how we started such a high note and it's just gonna slowly go very downhill from here. But this is me just giving a fair warning. A child does get harmed here and I will be detailing a lot of the stuff that goes down, like the series of events and stuff. So whenever that comes up, I'll like give you some sort of warning. I'm not entirely sure how I'm gonna do it right now, but probably in editing I'll figure it out. We're gonna start now on the actual case. So in Florida, United States of America, on November 3rd, 1998, in the Lakewood neighborhood of Jacksonville, Southside, Sheila Clifton had reported the disappearance of her 8-year-old daughter, Maddie Clifton. The last that anyone had heard of her or had like seen her was when she was playing around in the neighborhood. So like given, you know, the time of like when this was happening, it was like 1998, and given like the location, it wasn't very unheard of for like kids to like, go outside, play around, and like kind of be in their own headspace without any supervision. Because everyone kind of knew everyone there. That's another big factor about this. Everyone knew each other, everyone had heard of each other, everyone looked after each other. So after like she was reported missing, the 5 days following that were dedicated to searching for her. over 1,000 people from all across, from across northeast of Florida were looking for her. Flyers were up, shirts with Maddie's face were worn, several people were going outside searching the woods and areas and all that. It was a whole search, and it was really remarkable how, like, people really got together searching for this girl. Unfortunately, on the 10th of November, Maddie's body was finally found. Melissa Phillips had picked up on, like, a very foul smell coming from her 14-year-old son Joshua's room. So it isn't anything weird for, like, a 14-year-old kid to have, you know, bad smell from his room. He'd also did own birds, I think. So it wasn't odd, but, like, she entered his room and she was like, what the fuck? And she noticed this, like, wet spot on the floor near his waterbed. She searched around the room. She looked under the bed and she found Maddie's body stuffed under there. So she was filled with so much panic. She ran outside, contacted the police, and asked, like, I think there was a police officer nearby that she ran to, and she was like, please come and help me. Please look at what's happening. And the police officer, of course, went there, looked at what happened, and immediately, you know, went to find Joshua. So Joshua was arrested while he was still in school, and after a few hours of interrogation, he had finally confessed to the murder. So just a small thing here.
14-year-old?
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah,
it's nuts.
What the hell?
It makes, I swear to God, it's just crazy. Wild to me that he's just 14. But yeah, just one thing to keep in mind is that the Phillips house, like I said earlier, it was a fairly tight, what's that word?
Tight-knit neighborhood.
Okay.
Yeah. So the Phillips house was, I'm not entirely certain. I think it was either across or, like, very nearby. Enough that, like, I think it was close enough for several articles to actually say, like, oh yeah, they were neighbors. So...
Wait, yeah. I'm a little curious. I'm sorry I missed the part. What's the connection between the, you know, the victim and Joshua?
Right. I think I'll talk about that later. But basically, they're, like, they're neighbors and also friends, like, kind of longtime friends. But yeah, like,
so
they live nearby.
How did the mother find... Wait, whose mother? The victim's mother found the...
Joshua's mother.
Okay, I'm so sorry. Yeah.
Hi everyone. I know it's been a while since we had this little moment, but from here on out it gets kind of much. So if hearing about death or a child getting harmed or anything related to sexual assault disturbs you or bothers you, or you just don't want to hear about it today, I would suggest you skip the next 19 minutes, after which we will discuss the legal proceedings. That is all for my part. Enjoy the rest of the episode. Toodles. Joshua tells the series of events of that day, stating that first him and Maddie were supposedly playing baseball in his backyard. So he knew that she wasn't supposed to be there because he's a fucking creep, and Maddie's parents were like, nope, stay away from the kids, especially, like, from those girls especially. And by girls, I meant, like, Maddie and her sister Jessica. So he claims to have accidentally hit her on the head with the baseball bat, and that caused her to, like, start screaming and crying because, of course. And rather than trying to, like, calm her down, he dragged her into his house and spent, this is just baffling, a staggering 15 minutes trying to strangle her. He eventually realized that since Maddie wasn't, like, quieting down, and, you know, she kept screaming, she kept hitting him and stuff like that, and he didn't want to get in trouble. His parents were actually at home at that time, and they knew that, like, if they found out, especially his dad, if his dad found out that Maddie was over at his place while no one was there, then he knew he'd have his ass fucking beat. So he was like, no, I don't want that. I'm scared. She's screaming. I'm going to get in trouble. So he began hitting her repeatedly with the baseball bat till she was unconscious. Now, horrifyingly, Maddie did not... She didn't immediately die from all this, because Joshua had such poor coordination with everything that he did that she was just unconscious. She kept going in and out of consciousness. And so to kind of, like, deal with it, he was like, okay, she's clearly out of it. She's not screaming. She's not crying. What do I do with the body? And so he ended up stuffing her limp and unconscious body under the plywood of his waterbed. And just like that, he went about his day as if nothing happened. But sadly,
so
Maddie,
she was alive?
Yeah. She was conscious throughout this entire thing. I think she was going in and out of consciousness. This is the really, really, like, unfortunate part of this entire thing. We have no proper telling of what happened there. This is just what he's saying. So throughout this entire trauma, right, she was conscious. And we know this. This part gets me. We know this because Joshua tells that he could hear her whimpering while he slept over her. The bed. Yeah.
What the hell is this? Oh my god.
Yeah. And as a result of all of that, Joshua took her body because she kept making sounds and he was like, what if my mom walks in? I don't know what his thinking was. He took her body out and then began stabbing her. He stabbed her a total of 11 times, 9 times on her body and twice to her neck in order to silence her screaming. Unfortunately, Maddie was still alive when she was pushed under the bed a second time. And it's very unclear when exactly she had died and what exactly had caused her to die. But it's assumed that while she was under the bed, under the waterbed a second time, she eventually did pass. So
she was struggling there for like over half a day.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It was a whole thing. And on January 13th, 1999, Maddie's autopsy was finally made public. So this was like, you know, after the whole thing had happened. I'm just skipping forward just a little bit. Maddie's autopsy was made public. And I'm not entirely certain if, you know, they had the parents' permission or not. I couldn't find something on that. But I'm pretty sure they did have. At least I hope they got the parents' permission. But basically, the autopsy had revealed that Maddie had received multiple blunt impacts to the head. And because of that, she had a bunch of skull fractures. Along with that, she had many stab wounds. So for the most part, everything that Joshua had said kind of did check out. But you have to kind of keep in mind that the autopsy was very difficult to conduct because of the humidity that her corpse was exposed to. So it was quite hard to like exactly pinpoint the time of death and the exact chronology of events that took place that led up to her death and what caused her death. So we can verify... No, so just
one thing, like her body was in there for like 5 days, 3rd to 8th.
No, her body was in there for like... When she officially died, I think her body was in there for about 5 days. Yeah, actually. So it was like the whole thing was like seven days, a week entirely.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
And so, okay, so like they can't pinpoint whether the cause of death was blunt force trauma or blood loss.
Yeah, they can't pinpoint what exactly caused it. They just know it was like several things impacting. And some people say that like it must have been that she like kind of bled out. Others say that like one of the blunt forces to the head might have caused like a concussion of sorts or like something like that happened and she paused. But it's very uncertain because of how like she was found in such an advanced stage of decomposition that her body was highly, highly putrefied to the point that she was almost unrecognizable. And so
yeah, I think the trigger warning on this one was a good call.
Yeah, yeah.
And I support it. Yeah. In hindsight, I support it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the problem with this, and it really, it's so frustrating because they could barely pinpoint what had happened.
Confuses me on this. Because if you can't pinpoint the time of death, she could have practically been alive for like a day or so.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Exactly, that's the issue with this. Like, we're really relying on what he's telling of that day, right? We can't like confirm the validity of his entire story.
I love
that's
kids,
the
don't
major
get
issue.
Me wrong, but kids often lie a lot.
Exactly. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of plot holes in his story. A lot of plot holes.
Okay, I don't like kids, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't know. Like, I'm sure we'll discuss this later on because that's how Sunithi, like, goes about things. Joshua's family life could not have been good. Normal 14-year-olds
It wasn't. I mean, here's the thing. Here's the thing, though, right? I go over this later, but like, Joshua's family life, it confuses me on how so many people are banking on his family life being the cause. His dad was shit. His dad was very awful. But that was it. His mother is very loving, very like, you know, and his school life was pretty good as well. So it's very confusing. I think it was just like innately in him. This is the whole thing about like a nature nurture situation. I think it was in him. And some people say that in some way, like, all these things kind of got bottled up and it all came spilling out. I'll go over this later because there's a whole explanation in psychology. But yeah.
Now, I do see the whole dad thing playing a role, because regardless of whatever his other situations were, fear is a very strong motivator.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
So, yeah.
But yeah, so for the following 7 days, Maddie's body rotted under his bed and he slept above her for an entire week. And this is a little detail that a lot of like judges and found it difficult to prosecute him as a minor. So, and later on he was prosecuted as a adult. So this is just like mostly speculation, this next bit, but it's very rough. Some believe that in some way he did sexually assault Maddie. So firstly, what contributes to this? It's not confirmed. He didn't confess to it. He says that the whole thing was an accident and he just wanted to cover it up, and that's why he killed her. That was his whole spiel. But several people do think that he probably did sexually assault her, because firstly, her body was found, like, she was found completely naked from the waist down, and traces of semen was also found on both her and Joshua's clothes from that day. So, but also, like, the semen part is, like, Joshua was watching porn right before Maddie had come over, what supposedly came over to his house, so that could also explain that. But again, it changes a lot.
Possibility, but yeah.
Yeah. And when Maddie's body was being removed, now this part. So when Maddie's body was being removed from the waterbed, her clothes were in there as well with her, but in such a way as if like someone had thrown them in there after her body was placed there. So it must have been like removed from her. Like they must, like her clothes were off of her before she was in there. So there's definitely that.
Wait,
she
was found nude?
She was found naked from the waist down, and those clothes that were that she was wearing from the waist down were thrown in after her body was in there. So it was like, okay, remove the clothes, throw her in there, and then throw the clothes in. So that it basically supports that, yeah, he did like remove her clothes basically.
Because again, she was alive for like, I don't know, God knows how long.
Yeah, but why would she remove her own clothes?
Maybe she was hot. I don't know, man.
Maybe. Like,
yeah. There's like literally no way of figuring out from what you're telling me. So.
See, but I feel like if she was continuously slipping in and out of consciousness and she was in like a confined space, she wouldn't really have the energy.
Exactly.
Because again, she was alive for a prolonged time, right? Inside a fucking water. There is no way she had enough consciousness to actively remove her clothing, nor do I think she had enough space to, because waterbeds are like very compact, that's why they're cheap, right?
Have you seen a waterbed? That's so sad. Sorry, okay.
Yeah, not a lot of, like, most waterbeds aren't very, very like big, but yeah, I think Maddie was about like 4'4" tall, something like that. So, yeah, make of that what you will. Now, earlier, I think, you know, I was using a lot of words like accidentally claimed and supposedly, because it's very, like, everything that Joshua had said was circumstantial at best. So, State Attorney Harry Shorstein had said that, you know, Joshua's retelling of the events was very unlikely because there was no blood found on the bat, ball, or even in the backyard. So, there was also, like, no dirt on Maddie's clothes or even his shoes. So it really, like, makes you wonder, like, did it even happen? Like, clearly, since you hit her, she must have fallen down. You were, like, dragging her in there, into the house. Where's the dirt, you know? And if not, you know, on her clothes, why are they not on your shoes? So there's a lot of, like, plot holes.
Wait, there was no dirt on the shoes at all?
No dirt on the shoes at all. And I think the more convincing part is that there was no, like, evidence, like, on the bat that there was blood on it. No blood on the bat, no blood on it, because most bats I think are wooden. Like, we don't have like the I couldn't find the specific details, but like if the bat was wooden, it's very, very unlikely that there would be no like remnants of blood on it. It would like get into the cracks.
If it was like an aluminum bat or something, then I guess you could use something like detergent or something.
Yeah, I guess there's that too. But in the backyard as well, there was no blood whatsoever. So, you know, there's like a few like things that like made you question. Because he is a 14-year-old kid, right? His whole thing was that, I just don't want to fucking deal with this. And so he literally, like, it's like trying to minimize the problem as much as possible. That in his head, in his puny little head, he thought, let me minimize this, throw this out the fucking window.
I don't want to deal with accidentally hitting a girl. So now I'll go murder her instead.
Yeah, that's what, the wild part. Even?
Okay, guys, we need to stop pretending like 14-year-olds are complete dumbasses. Yes, they are, but they usually know wrong from right. At 14, I'm pretty sure that's not how I would have reacted, is what I'm saying.
Oh, definitely not. Like, no. That's the thing.
Yeah, 14
that's
is what I'm for the 14 like, is just for context, old enough to know. You're wrong in 9th grade, you're in high school.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Or, you know, like you're, in 8th grade, but you're in high school.
If he was like 10, or 8, I would have still maybe given him the benefit of the doubt, but he was 14.
Yeah, exactly.
He was more than old enough to realize the consequences of what he's doing. You understand death at 14. Everybody understands death at 14. Like, you cannot, in good faith, argue that I don't know what I was doing at that age. In this context, I'm not talking about everything, obviously. Yeah. But in terms of murdering somebody because they were crying, at 14, you know better. Right, so stop like treating him like a fucking toddler because he wasn't. Again, that being said, I don't know what his mental state was. I don't know all those factors. I'm talking about a clinically sane, I don't know whether that's an acceptable term anymore, but like for this particular context, I'm talking about people who don't have any severe mental issues.
I mean, so clearly, Joshua is a pile of dog shit. But in case if you're not convinced, here's something a little more to support that reasoning. He had openly talked about sex in front of both Maddie and her older sister, Jessica. So pictures of Jessica were also found in Joshua's room, pictures which were stolen from the Clifton household when he once had, like, broken in and entered. Breaking, you get what I mean, breaking and entering.
Oh, my God.
And some of Jessica's clothes.
Also, why is he talking about this to a 8-year-old, what the hell?
Okay, I didn't even tell the ages. So, like, Jessica, I think at the time she was 11 or 12 years old. Joshua was 14, and Maddie was 8. Yeah. So, in front of a 11 and 8-year-old, basically, he was talking
first
about
of all, I'm sorry, a 14-year-old should not be hanging out with an 11-year-old or an 8-year-old unless he's babysitting them in any scenario. When you're 14, your friends are 14, 15-year-olds. They are not 11-year-olds.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Joshua's dad had actually said, like, do not hang out with the Clifton girls whatsoever. He had a general rule for him to not hang out with any friends, like, not have friends over whatsoever. But also, he said, like, not the Clifton girls. Don't talk to them. They're younger than you. And, of course, he didn't listen because he's a fucking creep. So, there were also, like, several pictures, several of, like, Jessica's clothes were also found there, too. So, that's bizarre. Before, like, I've go on further of like the case and all that, I mean the legal stuff, there's this incredible episode done by Morbid, a true crime podcast, on not only like this case on its own, but they also had an interview with Jessica Clifton. It was incredible. She gave so much insight and it was just really interesting on how like so there were like a few misconceptions, like she cleared those misconceptions and she gave a bit more insight, and and she's also a very like genuinely nice person, so she gave a lot of like background to like the legal stuff, what was happening and what she's done to like kind of remember Maddie. And and so she also like talked about, this is very interesting, that when she was there in court, I don't remember which when it was exactly, but she was in court and she was around 11 or 12 years old, and she had heard from the like prosecutors and stuff that Joshua had like a sick had like a sick infatuation with her. It's very bizarre because like she talked about how when she was around like 11 or 12 years old, during one of the court hearings, she heard about how Joshua had this insanely sick infatuation with her. Some even speculate that had it been Jessica over, it probably would have been her that, you know, all that happened to. So there is like some support that this might have been sexually motivated. It doesn't surprise anybody. Some prosecutor, I actually don't remember where I heard this, but apparently someone also said that he like watched like very aggressive porn, and he was very like, he had this whole different lifestyle online. Like, he was into very aggressive like things online, which was very different from like the type of person he was like displaying himself in front of everybody else. So
okay, guys, I think we need to stop blaming porn for this shit. Like, we are at that point in life where we need to stop blaming porn for this.
I understand that, okay, this stuff exists on the internet. We all know it. It was his choice to go consume that kind of content. It was not the content that came to him. So it's like about time people stop blaming stuff on like, oh, he consumed so much media. Oh, video games. Oh,
you know what we should blame this on? The fact that sex education all over the world, but specifically in countries like the US and India, is nowhere near sufficient enough to teach people that porn is for entertainment. It's not for education. That is not how you behave with real people.
So I'm sorry. Like, if it sounded like I was like kind of blaming he was watching porn, no. It's just, I'm just saying that like, compared to the type of person he had put in front of everybody, he had a whole different thing going on online. So I just think that was interesting. He was a very different kid.
We understand that.
Just in case.
Have brought this up before. The fact that people have brought this up before as a justification is...
They used that in, like, the Ted Bundy case. They were like, oh, yeah, he watched a bunch of porn.
It exists, yes, but it's, like, a person's choice to go consume a certain kind of,
I have other issues with the porn industry in general, which is why I don't consume their content. But, like, you can't somebody being a sick murderer on the fact that they watch porn. That's stupid. A lot of people watch it. Most adults, I'm assuming, watch it. And they end up brutally murdering 8-year-olds. So you can't, blame it on them.
But on to the legal stuff. So most of the rough stuff is over. So on 16th November, prosecutors had finally announced that Joshua... 16th November... But I'm pretty sure it's like 1999. Prosecutors had announced that Joshua is to be tried as an adult. 3 days after this, the grand jury had indicted him on first-degree murder. So this is when the whole thing started happening. So as a result, he was shifted from... immediately when they decide like, okay, no, we're going to try him as an adult, he was shifted from a juvenile detention center to Duval County Jail. He was held there without bail and was awaiting trial. And due to all the publicity the whole case had received up until that point, it just kept being delayed, basically, kept being pushed forward. So the Joshua Phillips murder trial for the murder of Maddie Clifton began on July 8th and ended in 2 days, since Joshua's lawyer, whose name was Richard D. Nichols, had presented no witnesses. He was finally convicted for first-degree murder, and this is my favorite part. Judge Wardell Wallace sentenced Joshua to life in prison without the possibility of parole, and Judge Wallace had also closed his entire statement saying that the boy was monstrous, and that makes me very happy. Because I love it when judges like actually give like some sort of like, you're a piece of shit, like stuff like that. I don't know why, it just brings me such comfort when they just say stuff like that.
I mean, fully agree.
Yeah. The Supreme Court had given a new sentencing on November 17th of 2017, and it like ruled that juveniles cannot be immediately sentenced to life in prison. So the 13-year-old at that time had remained in prison since Judge Wallace had come along and been like, that's shit. And he like resentenced him to life. So he stays there to this day, I think. I'm not entirely certain what's happening. Actually, no, like, according to that, like, Jessica Clifton interview that was there on the Morbid podcast, I think there was, like, at the time he was getting another parole, he was getting a parole hearing or something like that. I'm not entirely certain. I didn't, like, check up, like, recently what happened. This is just the case at the time it was happening. Now, Mrs. Phillips had stated that Maddie had been a longtime friend of Joshua's, though Joshua's dad, Steve Phillips, didn't like him spending time with girls younger than him, which, very reasonable. Very reasonable. So in the book named Too Young to Kill, 15 Shocking Crimes by M. William Phelps, Joshua had stated that he once walked into his parents' room where he saw his father with his fist smashed through a wall. So, and since then he like kind of had this whole like fear towards his father, like he was pretty terrified of his dad, which I get that. I really do understand that, like being afraid of one of your parents. And because, and also like to kind of add on to that, his dad struggled from like drug addictions and alcoholic tendencies. So he made a bunch of like strict and a lot of unreasonable like rules as well in the household. Like you can't have friends over and you have to do all the household chores and several other things that, you know, as a, for a 14-year-old, it's a bit unreasonable. So it's understandable, like the anger, but the way it came out, that was fucked, of course. So there's just like painting of the type of household he was in. Melissa okay, Phillips.
Sunidhi, here's the thing though, right? Sorry. I don't mean to discount the fact that like he had a pretty shitty household situation, but how much can you excuse because of that? You need to take some accountability for your
It's actions, not an excuse. No? It's more of like a... It's not like an excuse. It's more of like a... How do I explain it? You see... Let's say you see a reaction happening and you're kind of curious to know what happened to that... Like, what caused that reaction. So then you go backwards and see. Because there are always patterns. There will always be patterns. And there's like a fair amount of like mental like related things with Joshua. I think it's a more of like a, like he was naturally just like that. And it just came out because of the way his like family was. Well, specifically his father.
Like, because like, again.
Go ahead and agree with whatever testimonials he gave of the situation. I mean, you can kind of go back and say like he's probably the way he is because of, you know, the way he was raised. But then, yeah, it's just like not an excuse, but makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, okay,
it's not like saying I know exactly what you're saying. This is the issue with like trying to talk about most cases, right? Whenever you're trying to give background, it's never trying to defend the person. It's never trying to like say this is why they did this. You can't fully put the blame on them. The whole blame goes on them. It's more about from like an aspect of like trying to understand what led up to that and how do we prevent that. Or, like, if you see a similar pattern, it's more of, like, a study rather than do they deserve this. We are no one to judge, like, give judgment here. As in, like, oh, like, he deserves to be excused or he does not deserve to be excused. Stuff like that. We're in no position to do that because that's just how the system works. This is more of, like, a study. So, I'm never going to say, like, oh, yeah, Joshua, like, oh, he had a, like, terrible, like, his dad was so bad to him and stuff like that. But there's never, you can't just deny that there were things that led up to this. That's the whole issue with like the whole nature versus nurture argument.
All of that being said, and again, I can only speak for myself, but like as somebody who comes from a pretty healthy household, like I will never understand what it's like to, you know, luckily, fortunately for me, I will never understand what the effects of being in a highly abusive household is like. But that being said, I think beyond a point, you have to take accountability for your own actions.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know,
but I feel a lot of, like, these things, it just kind of, like, how do I explain? Because, yeah, again, I'm going to talk about it later. But, like, there's this thing that, with kids especially, right, that this is the only issue, that because he's a 14-year-old kid, right, it makes it so difficult for a lot of people to immediately, like, say that, it's fully his fault, which is really shocking to me. I've seen a lot of people say that because he's a kid, it's fine. Or not, I mean, not it's fine, that like it's to some degree excusable because he had his family was like this and he was exposed to stuff like this. It's all horseshit, but that's the issue with the human psyche is that things contribute to your actions. There are things that contribute to your actions and that can also rely on your nature, right? I think, of course, we've talked about this before, but we all believe that like nature versus the whole conversation of nature versus nurture, right? It's both of them because your nature heavily relies on, like, your nature stays the same and nurture can either, like, encourage it or deviate it, right? I definitely genuinely believe that Joshua was a fucked up kid with fucked up intentions and he hit it so, so well. And because his dad was like that, because he was exposed to different things, who knows, right? That was just, like, a slight tiny push that pushes like fucked up mind to doing this whatever he just did. right? Yeah. It's not an excuse, it's more of like, again, it's just a study.
Yeah. Oh, you're continuing.
Yeah. So, Melissa Phillips, Joshua's mother, she kind of insinuated that, I kind of have an issue with this, I understand that she's his mother, but she had insinuated that because of how intimidating, domineering Joshua's dad was, like his actions and his words were, it may have pushed Joshua into that direction, which is a bit horseshit, but like I understand why she would say that. Again, a lot of people do. Yeah, exactly. You can say it's a contributor. You can't heavily say that that's the reason. So,
I mean, it's his mother. She's obviously gonna have she's gonna want to protect her baby.
Yeah. Just like I don't know, like the mothers in this situation, like it's very interesting the way they responded. Maddie Clifton's mother, bless her soul, because I think at one point Joshua's father had died in a car crash, and Maddie's mother had consoled Joshua's mother, even though all that had happened. She had like gone there and been like, "I'm so sorry that happened." So that just like it's so powerful, really, like how the mother is like in this situation, especially Maddie's mother. She's so strong. And she went to all the court hearings and everything. It's genuinely so remarkable. But yeah, in 2008, Joshua had told the Florida Times Union that the only reason he was able to function after killing Maddie was because he spent his entire childhood, quote, in a fantasy world. He goes on to say that, quote, "The entire time I was putting myself in a fantasy world, that nothing had happened and that was my defense for everything as a kid. If something was wrong, ignore it. It will go away. And it worked a couple of times. That's why I wanted to believe it," end quote. He also said that, quote, "I really don't know if I deserve to be released or not, but I know I want a second chance. Maybe I deserve to die in prison," end quote. So, you know, it's very confusing with this kid. And now I'm going to try and explain just a little bit. His psyche really confuses me, and you'll understand why now. So in psychology, there's this thing called differential oppression theory, right? And essentially it says that the behavior of a child is a direct consequence of the way they are treated by the adults in their lives, which makes perfect sense, right? I know that theory is mostly applied to like kids who like, you know, kids who don't murder. I'm pretty sure it applies to kids who don't murder, but it's something that has come up a few times, so I just thought it was interesting. So it states that kids can act in very different ways when it comes to any sort of oppression that they face. Oppression here being just like abusive words, neglect, you know, all any form of oppression to like, you know, the meanest thing to say to a kid to like like fully hitting them and stuff. So they may passively accept it. They may even like try and conform to it and like act out accordingly. Or they might even try and retaliate. So kids can react in very different ways to these things. So we've been over this before, saying like, you know, Joshua's dad was very like combative, basically, and he was even abusive to him and his mother. To Joshua and his mother. And he had this whole fear towards his father. And that kind of built up and bottled and stuff had happened. And of course, people say that, you know, that unfortunately one day Maddie had come over and that kind of toppled him over. Again, it's definitely vague and it's definitely not a good thing to like directly pin on, but we've been over this. It could be a contributor. Now this part is definitely very interesting. Joshua had an issue in his brain called bilateral frontal lesions. Now basically, during psychological testing before the trial, one of the x-rays had showed that there were lesions on his bilateral frontal lobe. And this is the part of the brain that affects a person's ability in like telling right from wrong. So,
yeah,
you know, it makes sense why he might have struggled if that was like if it was as bad. But like there wasn't a lot of like weightage on this one thing, which I don't know why, just there wasn't. Like if this is a bad, like if it is at, why can't I speak right now? If it's as severe as, you know, it seems to be, he would be struggling so much from differentiating between right and wrong. And that should have been like a contributor to like
in most cases, you do give some like, again, not justifying anything for him. But in a lot of cases, if that like the perpetrator has some history of any mental illness or any other disorders, they usually give some sort of leeway.
Mm.
And mm-hmm. this is a big contributor, like the right from wrong thing, like it's the basis of your entire morality as such.
Exactly.
Right?
So that's why I was saying, like, you can plead insanity in court, right? That's a huge thing.
Yeah.
But a lot of a lot of defendants choose to plead insanity in court when they commit such horrific crimes because they weren't in their right state of mind, quite
right
literally.
Mind.
And so they can't be held accountable for what they do because of their illness. Your mental illness is not who you are. It's not the sum of your being. It's a part, like, you know, it's something you deal with. It's not who you
definitely.
Are as a person. So I understand, especially because, again, he was a minor. So you have to give him that, you know, you're obligated to sort of give him that leeway. Not that you shouldn't give it to adults who deal with mental issues, but especially because it's a child. You know, need to be even.
And I think then this thing, like the discussion we had in the beginning about a kid would know right from wrong in the beginning, that kind of does.
Yeah, exactly.
A little bit go
thing.
Out the window.
No,
yeah.
no, that's why I specified, given that they are clinically sane. Like that's why I gave that caveat. Because if you're clinically sane and you've had like a relatively normal childhood, at 14, you can differentiate between right or wrong when it's such a big thing, at least.
At least with murder, you can tell. Yeah.
This is a bit of a... it kind of flips the whole case.
Yeah, that's what
it's
I'm
hard
saying.
To explain.
That's why
like, when
I gave
that
caveat.
It's hard to explain because like when I was researching all this and I was like putting it down, right? I was like, I'm so interested to know what led up to this. But no part of me was like, I feel bad for him. Not a single part of me felt bad for him. It was just more of like a... I can't believe that these were all these contributing factors. Like, what if there are people out there that have this? That's my brain went there. Now I know that like the problem with this, right? And Jessica Clifton, I think she had like during that interview, she had also said at some point that, you know, a lot of people when they retell the story, it because there isn't a lot about Maddie, of course. She's an 8-year-old girl mm-hmm. and the family of course don't want a lot of things out about her.
That's out of respect just, like, for the no,
of course, yeah. But there's a lot on Joshua because, like, he was on trial and they were like, you know, of course, the whole case that happened, a lot of things come out during a trial. So there's a lot about Joshua, right? So it's difficult to tell information without sounding like, oh, you're trying to justify.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I don't have a lot of empathy for him.
Of course.
I'm going to be honest. Like, I'm not going to pretend to be like, oh, yeah, I feel like I do feel bad for him. But I don't have a lot of empathy for him in this case because while I understand that he wasn't in his sound mind, he did still kill an 8-year-old. Like, I can't. And potentially sexually assault her as well. Like, that's not...
I'm kind of like...
Yeah.
You know, I feel bad that a young kid was, like, treated like that by his father. But I'm not feeling bad for Joshua, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So...
Definitely.
I kind of just see it as, like, a kid that was treated horribly by his dad or a kid that struggled with, you know, bilateral frontal lesions, I guess. You know, all these things. But I don't feel bad that it happened to this specific kid because he didn't fucking handle it. It's in his nature. There's no denying it because he did things so differently online. He hid a part of himself online. And in front of everybody else, he just was this, like, run-of-the-mill, like, good kid who was nice and quiet, who read books and did good in school, and teachers loved him, right? But he was just a fucked-up kid, and he held it down for so long, then it all came crashing down and out and onto poor Maddie. So. But again, at the same time, keep in mind, this is just... contributing to the nature part. That was the nurture part. This is the nature part. This is the same kid, right? Same kid who lied through his fucking teeth so calmly when Maddie's dad, like parents, had come over to his house, knocked at his door, and asked if he had seen her. He even assisted in search parties while Maddie was still fucking putrefying under his bed, right? So he was doing all of that. Sure, you can't differentiate from right or wrong, but can I... Like, it's so baffling to me that, okay, if let's say you want to say that, oh, he can't differentiate from right and wrong, right? He knew that Maddie being over to his house was a wrong thing because his dad has told him it's a wrong thing, right? I'm sure most parents will be like, murdering someone is a bad thing, right? I don't know. It's very difficult. Yeah, it's very difficult to understand, like, what the fuck even happened? I'm telling you, like, yeah, this part, it's like, she is under his bed, putrefying, decomposing, and he goes out there talking to his parents, being like, oh no, I haven't seen her, I don't know where she is, let me help you find her. That's fucked, right? So I know that, wait, like,
Sunidhi, the condition you mentioned, does that have anything to do with, like, apathy or something?
I'm sure it does, to some degree. I'm sure it does. I wouldn't be surprised. But again, there's not a lot to, like, that I could find that, like, definitively said, like, oh yeah, this is a, like, because you could have small lesions on your bilateral frontal lobe, but
it doesn't... I'm gonna look this up, yeah, 1 second.
Go for it, go for it. But, I mean, yeah, like, he was a kid and his environment wasn't the best, so I get that. But, you know, he's the same kid who slept over a dead body that he killed. So, he's on a different plane of fucked up. He's on a different plane of fucked up. So, the most I'm willing to listen to was the bilateral frontal lobe shit, but that was the most I'm willing to listen to. This kid does not deserve any sort of... That
if it was on the left side, then they probably have depression-like symptoms. And if it's on the right, it's associated with mania. So,
That's so interesting. Because again, it like, really is. I don't even know. There's so much that, like, we could have known about. But again, you know, he lost the case, of course. He's in jail. Good fucking riddance. Yeah. Maddie was this beautiful, wonderful, adorable little girl. She was so sweet. Everybody loved her. Clear, obviously, because, like, the entire neighborhood, they got together searching for her, and word spread, and so the whole thing became, like, a countrywide, like, thing. Like, everybody wanted to know what happened to Maddie, you know? Where is Maddie? And, I mean, I could go on and on talking about, like, how, I definitely think it was just in him. It was just, he was just waiting for it to happen. If not now, I think it was bound to happen at some point or the other, because of the way that, even like during the court hearings, like, I saw some of the pictures and he had no actual like reaction. He was just blank. Like, it's wild to me. He's just not even here.
Yeah. I'm surprised Tanvi has nothing to say here.
Yeah.
He says, but these lesions, I'm reading a research paper, can lead to, like, issues with recollection and familiarity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's,
Oh, wait, before I forget, though, I, like, quickly had searched up, like, which episodes the morbid ones is. So they did, like, a actual, like, proper case study, and I think it was episode 80, and the interview was after episode 113. So you can go check it out. Morbid, a true crime podcast. It's very insightful. Jessica Clifton is such a genuinely lovely person. And there were a few like misconceptions that she had cleared. I really did really try to make it like we're not trying to justify Joshua, because that's one thing I've always like struggled with, especially like listening to other podcasts and also like writing down case studies, is accidentally justifying the murderer, the person who deserves no justification whatsoever.
Okay, and that's the thing. So, like, yeah, this is okay. Sorry to cut you off. But basically, what I was trying to say earlier was that he deserves to get treatment for his mental illness, but at the same time, he killed somebody.
Yeah,
like that's not you. I'm sorry, and I know this is a kind of extreme stance. You keep him in prison for life, right? You don't, like, give him a death penalty or anything. He is still a minor, obviously. I'm not saying give him the death penalty.
Yeah.
Obviously, right? But you keep him in prison for life. You, like, again, I know that this is a very, like, scared reaction to give, and it's very intense, but, like, I would not, I don't know. I just can't imagine this person ever. And keep him in prison and like give him treatment for his mental illness, obviously, but it's not rehabilitation.
That's the other thing, right? That's the other thing.
You can't re-assimilate into society after this.
Oh yeah, because he was convicted for first degree murder. First degree murder means it was premeditated, so it is convincing, according to the judges, according to the jury, everyone, that he planned this whole thing out. It was very fully thought out, and it wasn't an accident. If they thought it was an accident, if they thought like it was unintentional and it just happened, they would have given him a second degree, and it wouldn't have been life. But this is the issue, right? I think like when it comes to life imprisonment, right? Those people that cannot in any way whatsoever be brought back to society should get life imprisonment, right? Because like children who murder like premeditated type of murder.
Yeah, not accidental.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a different.
Because there are some kids out there who literally defend themselves by murdering. So I it's like there's a different world out there. There's different societies out there. You can't do much about it.
That's what I was coming to. Like, if he had killed her by accidentally striking her with the baseball bat, right?
Yeah.
And it was unintentional.
That would be manslaughter, right? Then. Yeah. That would be involuntary manslaughter. Yeah.
I'm like, then obviously it's not like he still killed somebody.
It wasn't defense. It was completely accidental.
Hold him accountable for that. He did kill somebody. There are consequences. But like, it wasn't out of malice. It was a genuine.
Yeah. But this kid, I genuinely feel like it was, I think he was like sexually like motivated. And I think he just, in that moment, it just happened. Maddie was there and unfortunately it happened. So honestly, rest in peace to the poor girl. I don't know. It's heartbreaking. She's such a sweet little button, genuinely. And
If she wasn't, even if she was an absolute girl, she's it. Like, you know, you can't.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, her like, being a cute girl, like cute and, you know, innocent person doesn't really matter in this context. Obviously, it's heartbreaking.
I get what you mean.
But it would have been heartbreaking even if she was a complete nightmare.
Exactly. No, I get what you mean. It just like pulls up my heartstrings. That's basically that. But I mean, yeah, world's a shitty place, really. But yeah, like the people who cannot be reformed should get life imprisonment. Like pedophiles, rapists, no, there's no fucking way that they can come back to society. I don't like, I hate the fact there's so many jokes of like oh yeah, like my uncle can't come within like 100 meters from the school or some bullshit like that. And I get it's a joke and I get it, but that's so fucked that like we let these horrible, terrified pedophiles out in public like that again. Like they deserve to be locked away far from society. They cannot be rehabilitated. They can't be back in society whatsoever. Rapists, the same thing. I don't even know why they get away with so many things. I don't even understand why so many people excuse it.
Because women are property. They aren't people.
Right, yeah,
That's the thing. Not that I'm saying that men can't be sexually assaulted. That is not what I'm saying. Don't come for
ding, me. Ding, 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 sarcasm time.
We mentioned this every second episode, pedophiles, murderers,
and otherwise somebody will clip it.
It's another person. Kill them. Not acceptable.
No, men can also be.
Both of you.
I'm not saying
both of you talked over.
So can non-binary people. Don't come for me, man. Let me cover my bases. This
everyone can be an assaultee and an assaulted. What? That's wrong.
Nice.
I'm so sorry.
You both of you talked over each other right there, so I don't know what just happened. I just somehow understood what both of you said. I know what that means. She just kept yelling over you. Yeah. So
I'm sorry, but like I needed to cover my bases. I was like, otherwise they will come for me if I don't give all the disclaimers. Yeah.
I mean, but to be fair, right? If you're listening to this podcast and you're this far in, I really doubt. I really doubt you're unfamiliar with our humor, unfamiliar with the things that we say.
Okay, that's not bad. Humor. Of course, not bad people. That wasn't a joke. That was me genuinely being like, women are treated as property. So, like, we live in a country where marital rape is a crime. Come on.
Oh yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Like that is.
But so yeah, no. Just to clarify, right? We will be doing like case studies and stuff in the future, and it's just. We're not bad people. I'm just going to say this, right? We're not bad people. We're not trying to justify anybody who did horrible things that just cannot be excused whatsoever. Again, just
okay, when you said we are not bad people, I was like, speak for yourself. I don't know.
You're not a bad person, all right? Don't be fucking stupid like that.
I don't know. Sunithi, I have bad opinion.
Have you murdered somebody?
Your opinion, madam.
Simple question. Have you murdered somebody or injured somebody with the intent of actually murdering and injuring them?
I have hit my sister with the intention of injuring her. Not injuring her, but like, I've gotten into a physical altercation with her before.
Oh, and I'm taking over Tanvi's dialogue here, but Sunidhi, please cut that out.
Oh my god. No, but I'm pretty sure, like, I said this earlier. I don't know if you heard, but, like, I think saying it out loud just feels like so much like, what the fuck are we saying? But then listening back to it, it's definitely not as problematic. Because the same thing happened in, like, solitary confinement and all that. I remember just being like, oh my god, what are we, what, like, when speaking, I was like, what the fuck are we saying? Hearing back, it wasn't as bad.
Yeah, because in my mind, I'm always, like, worried that somebody's gonna clip it. Like, when I'm going to fill out resumes for a job, somebody's gonna clip it and be like, you believe that, you know, all criminals should always be locked away for life. I'm like, no, that's not what I said. Mm-hmm. You're gonna have to listen to the whole hour and a half long episode to be able to understand the nuances of my takes on this. And they're gonna be like, you're not qualified for us to put in that much effort. And then I'll be unemployed.
Nice. Hey, no one knows your surname, yeah,
Please don't say it.
Poopy pants.
Yeah.
Tanvi poopy pants.
Tanvi poopy. That's so cute, poopy poopy.
Everything that we ever say, that, like, in case if, like, it bothers you or you feel like, you know, you're discriminating, whatever it is, right? Please feel free to contact us. Like, I would hate to, like, unintentionally just do something. Because that's never, of course, that's never our intention to, like, actually genuinely offend people. Other than each other, of course. So,
no, also, you know. Like, sometimes, no, I do say stuff to genuinely offend people. Like,
no, no, people, no, as in, like, how do I explain this? If you feel discriminated against, basically, that we discriminate against somebody. And also, please don't gatekeep, though. I remember, like, seeing, like, okay, so I watched a lot of, like, Dream SMP stuff, of course. And recently, there was, like, this video where someone had posted this, like, flag of, like, dark green, light green, white, blue, and red, or something like that. And so someone commented being like, oh, no, that's, like, so offensive to, like, the LGBTQ plus community. And everyone in the comments was like, no, it isn't. We know it's a joke. So it's like, you know, there's definitely people out there who will just pick a fight immediately. So we're definitely, you know, our intentions are to study the whole situation.
That being said, try and understand everything. Please, if you think that we said something that's entirely ignorant, not that I'm saying that it's your job to educate us, obviously we need to educate ourselves, but if you feel like we said something that's entirely ignorant or you genuinely disagree with something we said, feel free to give us your opinion on it. And, like, we always appreciate constructive criticism. Don't tell us to go kill us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a difference.
Yeah. No, because if you...
No, if you want to insult Tanvi, that's fine. Go for it. I will support her.
But, yeah, I mean, but if you want to insult us and make fun of us, please be interesting about it, at least, you know? Give us a laugh, at least.
I can't take...
Yeah, be like... I will cry.
I don't know what she looks like. You know, actually, no, I have an interesting question. You know, let's do this, right? Whoever hasn't actually met us, just tell us, like, what you think our heights are. Like, each of us, one by one, just tell us what your heights are. What our heights are. What am I saying?
I mean,
I'm so curious to know.
I think everyone here knows who exudes short energy and who here is, like, tall. So
okay, also I have another question. Listen, dude, do you think water is wet?
See, keeping in mind that the death
no, but see, you don't get